Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. You're listening to episode 284 of the Milk Bar, and Zoe returns.
I'm here.
How's your headache? Are you all right?
Yes, it's gone now. Do you know, I haven't had migraines like that for years. Yeah. I did have a lot of chocolate, though. I think that might have brought it on.
Chocolate there. It was Christmas on the way.
I know. So chocolate and cheese with me is a bit funny. It does cause migraines.
Yes, I know. Mm. Chocolate and cheese,
I don't eat chocolate anymore.
No,
I don't spread the chocolate over the cheese.
Have you not had the chocolate-flavoured Philadelphia yet, then? Okay. All right, that's one to look forward to, I think. Mm. Right, what have we got coming up on the show this week?
Well, we are going to be a lot of Christmassy stuff this week. We're going to be talking to Laura from The Haven about this year's Christmas appeal.
It's finding out how you can help them, help women and men who've been affected by domestic violence in our city.
As well as that, we'll be catching up with Jean Martin. She's been very, very busy and she's got a number of dates coming up as well.
And she's doing the Tech Santa thing.
Yes.
Which is, if you listen to this on Monday, it's on at the moment. In fact, if you listen to this Tuesday morning, it's still on. So, go along and see that. That'd be worth watching.
And this week's artist is Martin Ulswick.
We'll have music from him, and you may have known from his guys in The Sound of the Ladies and also his appearance on the Answer Me This podcast. So, you can catch up with him and his tunes very, very soon. But first of all, I'm currently outside the Wolves Academy with head groundsman Wayne Lombard. And Wayne, we have some fantastic facilities down here, but also you're looking after the pitches at Molineux as well as what we have in the training facilities. So, tell us a little bit what we got.
Well, at the moment, we've got three sites now that we actually manage. We've got the Sir Jack Heywood training ground, of course, which is the 18s, 21s and the first team. And we've got, obviously, Molineux, the pitch of Molineux that we have to look after. And now we've got the brand new academy from the 8s to the 16s.
So there's a lot of ground involved in there. How many actual turf pitches do you now have to maintain?
Overall, ground-wise, we've probably got around 10 pitches. And obviously we've now got the outdoor AstroTurf, the 3G, and the indoor 3G AstroTurf.
Because it's not a case of putting down an AstroTurf pitch and that's it. They do require maintenance, although you don't have to cut the grass.
Yeah, absolutely. They are brilliant. And when the weather is like it is now with the frost and the rain, obviously we can go, the lads can go inside, they can go outside. And, you know, and it doesn't matter what the weather is now, that we can maintain them and the lads can train.
Yeah, there's no need for undersoil heating there, but in the turf pitches, even at the training ground, they're going to be usable whatever the weather pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have got contingency plans for every occasion and for all weathers, from undersoil heating to frost covers to great sand pitches that we can aerate to get the moisture through. So it's just a case of being on the ball as regarding the weather. And making sure that, you know, I'm looking 2 or 3 weeks ahead and we're prepared for every training session.
Yeah, because if ever I want to know what the weather's going to do, I phone or text you. It's the simplest way of doing it. You know exactly what's going on. Have you got a direct line to the Met Office?
Yeah, I've got a duty forecaster that I ring from the British Met Office, of course. And I've been speaking to him now for 9 years and he can trace the rain, the snow coming down the M6 to Molineux within 10 minutes, and you know, we've got a pretty good relationship and I get to know his terminology and, you know, I know where he's coming from.
So how often do you have to cut the grass then? Because that must vary throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the summer, with all the products that we put on with the fertilisers, we have to cut it literally every day. This time of the year, more often than not, it's best to keep off, or we use lighter machines just to hoover the pitch like we do after the game. So it's just a case of doing the right things at the right time, you know, around the right conditions.
You don't get away with saying hoover the pitch without some questions on that one. What do you mean by hoover the pitch? You literally, it is just suction to take any damaged grass away?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got these rotary mowers that we take out of cutting mode, if you like, so it's above the height of the grass. So the suction from the engine just literally sucks up any debris, any material that's come off the players' boots, to get a nice clean surface ready for the next game.
Now, the surface at Molineux was completely relaid when the first part of the stadium redevelopment took place, and there was talk of a £1 million pitch then at the time, I think, in the press. But it's an ongoing story from that, isn't it? Because the actual pitch suppliers, they revisit each season, you will normally reseed. So tell us a bit about that sort of maintenance.
Yeah, it's the renovations at the end of the season, and what we really do is, obviously, I monitor throughout the season on what's good and what's not so good, and then I come up with a report come March and April time on what we need to get the pitches back to the best possible condition we can. And that's normally taking the top off, cultivating the top 4 inches, laser levelling, seeding again, and then we've got a perfect pitch, hopefully, going into the new season.
And the variety of grass in there, I'm guessing it's probably mixed varieties that have different growing strengths and patterns to keep you going through the year. But is that sort of a top secret thing from our pitch supplier?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's perennial ryegrass, which is the strongest, most vigorously, and recovers very well, for very quickly. And it's a specific sports turf. 4 different types of varieties from Johnson Seed, and we use the exact same seed in the stadium as we do on the first team pitch, you know, to try and mirror the dimensions of the pitch, the makeup of the pitch, the grass of the pitch. So everything that the first team train on is exactly the same at Molineux, other than the stands.
Now, I managed to walk through one of the sprinklers at half-time a couple of matches ago. I really must look where I'm going when I'm reading a script. But it is important to keep a pitch watered throughout and as often as possible, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these modern-day pitches are 80 to 90% pure sand. And the stability of that, you know, largely relies on how much percentage of moisture. So it's very important the week before, leading up to the game, we take moisture readings to get it up to between 28 and 30% moisture for match day. And then just before the players come out, we put the sprinklers on, 1 to wet you, and and 2 just to make the leaf slick for the ball to travel quicker over the surface.
So it's all about playing the game and making sure the pitch is in top condition for that. And then the divots as well, that's an ongoing nightmare for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, with these modern day surfaces, we have fibre reinforcement mixed in with the soil to keep the surface together. But of course, you know, it's a natural living thing. It is grass, and there will be scars on there. So we intensively walk over after the game and a couple of days after match day to knock the scars back and to try and get the grass lifted up. We hand brush it and really, you know, just to start the point of recovery again.
You do an absolutely fantastic job. I know whenever I walk out onto the pitch, you know, immediately before a game, it's a fantastic surface. It is just like walking on a big green carpet.
The only thing I have to worry about on match day, Jason, is whether you walk on the white lines or not with Wolfie and Wendy. So as long as I see you keeping off the white lines, then that's what makes match day for me.
I do my best. And also, we do talk about, when you're talking about white lines, you can see the direction the grass has been cut, and the instruction is always to walk up the paler bits of grass.
Yeah, absolutely, because you have to walk up what we call the light bands, the direction of the cut, because then you don't see your footprints. If you were to walk up the dark bands, then obviously if you look behind you, it becomes light and your footprint is dark. So it's just a case of, you know, trying to be professional until the end, getting the pitch looking the best it can for when the players come out, and then it's over to them.
So tell us a bit about the AstroTurf on both the outdoor pitch and the Academy Arena.
The outdoor pitch we had completed 2 years ago. That's a 40mm Deso 3G pitch.
Okay, now that sounds like telephone speak to me. What do you mean by 3G pitch?
3G pitch is third generation. We had the one generation pitches back in the 80s where Luton, QPR had hockey style pitches. In this day and age, we have 3G, which is like real turf, which is 40mm long grass rather than the tarmac like pitches that we had back in the 80s. And it's basically filled with a percentage of sand and percentage of rubber crumb mixed into the 40mm of turf to try and recreate as natural as you can AstroTurf, like the real thing.
And then it's the next step up from that, really, indoors for the arena as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a 3G pitch. It's on this occasion, it's Tiger Turf, but the actual specification is very, very similar to the outdoor one. But obviously, because it's inside, it's an arena, then, you know, we haven't got all the elements of the weather to worry about. So he really is all weather.
Yes, it has a roof, a pitch with a roof, that's always good. And but there's fans in there as well, there's moisture removing equipment, and all that on top of a great viewing gallery too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of thought going into there. I mean, you know, architecturally, you get the wow factor when you come around the corner and you look at the building. And then when you go in there and all the lights are on, you walk through what we call a tunnel and you've got pictures of fans on either side. It really does recreate, you know, almost similar to walking out at Molineux for the youngsters.
So the Christmas period is on the way. You've got lots of work to do. You don't get any time off like the team doesn't get any time off.
We are actually fortunate this year that I've got to come in Christmas Day because the first team are in training. So I'll come and have a look, make sure, you know, the weather's kind to us and the pitches are ready. But this year, first time for a couple of years, we're actually playing away at Watford on Boxing Day. So, you know, my feelings go out to the ground staff at Watford with a 5:30 kickoff for Sky. So they'll probably do a 15-hour day on Boxing Day, so they can carry on.
Yeah, it's not going to be an easy one. But we're back at home on the 28th, which means you'll be ready for that one. And it'll be the grow lamps out, I'm sure, to convince the grass it's not quite winter and it shouldn't really hibernate.
Absolutely. As we all know, the grass doesn't know what time of year it is. It just reflects on the temperatures. So with our pitch lights out there, you know, we try and encourage it. It's really light, it's really warm, and just continue to grow.
Wait, thank you for having a chat with us, and I'll let you get back to work now.
Thank you. Cheers, Jason.
Let's take our first song from our featured artist then. It's Martin Allswick, I Want to Be a Horse.
Might have been little more than a fleeting impression. Blur across my vision, smeared by a racing train. From the corner of an eye, staring at a laptop, on a cross-country journey through intermittent rain.
I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse.
If I could run that fast, I'd run all over the place. And if a person tried to ride me, I would whinny in their face. If I had hooves I couldn't type, Ruby every day. But I'd still converse in binary, but in a more leisurely way.
I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse.
Algebra and sums, that we'd make macro processors with water troughs and cups. We'd send data packets out just using our feet, and I'd be a horse computer programmer, and the process would repeat.
I wanna be a horse. I wanna be a horse.
Martin Allswick and I Want to Be a Horse.
That's an interesting title for a song, if ever there was one. And to tell us all about it, Martin joins us on the phone now. Hello.
Hi there, hello.
Well, actually, it's Skype, isn't it, which makes you sound slightly funny, but we won't hold that against you, okay?
I sound funny anyway, really. That's just my voice.
Well, you sound slightly robotic periodically as well, but we will cope with that. So, a brand new album, and all going well, I trust.
Yeah, it's it came out a couple of months ago, and it's on iTunes and Spotify and my own website, martinallswick.bandcamp.com. com. So yeah, people have been. I hope. Yeah.
And your work always seems to prove popular, and not only through your offerings online, but also real life appearances. Has there been much gigging of late?
I haven't been gigging a lot. I did a really nice gig a few weeks ago, which was a totally unplugged gig. I don't normally do those, and it was a musician called Mark Hibbert who does all kinds of little nice gigs, and he did this gig which was me and him and one other guy, and we sort of were in this room pub, and it was just me and a guitar and no amplifiers and no speakers or anything, and that was lovely. And I'm doing a gig on the 15th of December, which is at the Bloomsbury Theatre in London, which is part of the Nine Lessons and Carols for Godless People. So that should be quite fun. I've done that before, and that's usually an interesting mix of people, comedians, and you know, people like Alan Moore will come along to that. You know, so you get some quite interesting characters. Mm. So yeah, that's the next one.
And is your live music a lot different from your recorded?
Well, yeah, it tends to be because a lot of the time it's just me, so I have to figure out a way to make these songs, which have all sorts of different bits in on the recordings, sound interesting when it's just a person playing, singing and playing the guitar. And sometimes I'll have a bass player and a banjo player that will come along, but it doesn't have, I mean, some of these recordings have got like, you know, tons and tons of different parts on them. It's just a question of keeping the audience's interest when there's not all of that going on.
Yeah, I think dancing whilst playing the guitar could be your next move.
I'm a pretty good dancer, actually. Yeah, I think I could go for that.
That'd be worth seeing. Right, so obviously you're doing the work that you're doing with your music, and when you've got a few gigs, but when are you coming to play in the Midlands? Because you are from this neck of the woods. Your family is still living in Wolverhampton, I believe.
They are, yeah, they are. I haven't done any gigs in the Midlands. I tend to sort of gig around London where I live, because it's easy to fit in work, basically, I guess. So, you know, I work in the daytime, and then I'll kind of do a gig in the evening. If anyone would like to invite me, I'll happily come and play sometime.
That would be good. You could kill two birds with one stone. You can visit your family and do a bit of gigging as well.
Yes, some friends of mine are trying to persuade me that. So there's this person that's done a walk from Paddington in London to Birmingham, and not quite as far as Wolverhampton, along the canal, along the old, I think it's the Grand Union Canal.
Yeah.
Not in one go. They did it over a series of days. And that might be a project for the new year. I don't know if I can carry on my... here with me. Maybe I could bring a small guitar and arrange some gigs along the way. I don't know.
That's it, yeah. Well, there's plenty of pubs along the way, I would imagine, for you to pop into.
Yeah. So a friend of mine did something similar. She's done a couple. She did the Trent, and she's, what's the other one? Not the Seven. It was another one that begins with T. And she, like, did the walks along, and then she, like, did, like, organised little storytelling sessions and stuff at each place she stopped at, which sounds really fun. So, I guess she could do it.
You could go with that. No, that sounds good to me.
Do it in the summer, though. That would be better.
Yeah.
Have a little
beard.
Snow on the towpath is never good.
I'll give it a few months.
But are you actually up with the family over Christmas, though?
I think I'm going to be away for Christmas. We're sort of big into road trips, so we'll have a little road trip over Christmas. So we won't actually be in the Midlands around Christmas itself, but we're going to have a little fake Christmas beforehand. We're going to go up in December before we go away, and then... I don't know, maybe cook a big turkey or something like that. Or at least the nice looking chicken.
you mentioned a few of the websites they can get a hold of your music. Of course, on Bandcamp, you're allowing people to pay what they want to for the tracks.
Yeah, people can pay whatever they want. So you can download stuff for free if you want to. I just, I would like people to listen to it and enjoy it and share it and give it to their friends if they like it. And, you know, if they would like to give me a little bit of money for that, that's great. And obviously, if they get it, iTunes or Spotify, I get a little bit of money from that, or they can choose how much they pay. And I always say to people, if you just want to download it, listen to it, and then, you know, if you want to come back a few weeks later and give me a bit of cash, that's fine. Mm. You know, figure out if you like it first of all.
So I have heard that works very well for bands, you know, if they do give that option to their fans, and very often, you know, people will pay for a track.
And sometimes pay more.
And pay more than what...
Some people end up being very generous, but then, like, not everyone's got the cash, like, especially if you're, like, younger. I remember being a kid and, you know, I couldn't afford to buy all the CDs I wanted. But, like, now people, they kind of can. They can do that. And, I mean, you know, it's more important to me that people listen to music and enjoy it if they're going to than I make.
Yeah. Well, they'll come back for more as well, won't they, when they've downloaded it and they've enjoyed it, so.
Well, that's the idea, yeah. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
So what is the title of the current album?
It's called Through Intermittent Rain. Which is sort of it's a lyric from the song we heard, I Want to Be a Horse, but it's I guess it's just about so the album's a collection of stuff. It's songs I've done on different for different nights. So over the last sort of 2 or 3 years, people will me. I've got this night which is about green issues. Like, I'm doing a night about ecology and stuff. And can you come and do a song on it? And I go, well, I haven't got any songs about that, but I can write something. So I'll write something and I'll do it. And then I've done loads of those things in the last couple of years. It's been really fun. So I've done stuff on, you know, there was a night which is themed around superheroes, and there was a night which was about museums. And I did something which was, there was May the 18th is International Fascination of Plants Day. And it also happened to be my birthday. So a friend of mine said, oh, as it's your birthday, will you write a song for International Fascination of Plants Day? So I did.
And there it is. And you can be found on the album.
Yeah, it's a track called Methuselah. It's about the oldest tree in the world, in fact. Because I realise I'm not that fascinated by plants. Like, I live, you know, I don't even have a garden. I don't even have a window box where I live. So I was thinking, what's interesting about plants? I mean, they're not. But then I do really like trees, and I visited, some pretty old trees when I was on holiday in California a few years ago. And the redwoods, they're these gigantic, gigantic trees, and you look up and you kind of lose the sense of scale, and they're going, meters and meters into the air. And then some of those are really old. And then I discovered that there's other trees which are not far from there. They're pine trees that are like 4,000 or 5,000 years old. Wow. It's really amazing. That there's a yew tree as well. And I haven't been to it. I want to go to this place in North Wales that's got this yew tree that's maybe over 5,000 years old. And I just, yeah, it sounds like a big number. You put it on the scale of human history, that's like, well, you know, kind of the Christmas was 2,000 years ago. So we're talking about like kind of the era of like the building Stonehenge. That's how old these trees are. And that blew my mind. So I thought, I can write a song about that. So that's amazing.
Okay, Martin, remind us of the web details where we can find your music.
My Bandcamp page is martinaustwick.bandcamp.com. If you go on Spotify or iTunes, you can just search for Martin Austwick. And you should find it. And the album's called Through Intermittent Rain. I'm on SoundCloud as well. That's under my band name, which is The Sound of the Ladies. And there's music there as well.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for joining us. We're going to take another song now. What would you like to hear this time?
So this is a track called Paler Shadow. It's an instrumental song because I wrote some lyrics for it and I really hated it. And I spent ages working through the lyrics to try and make them better. And then I just went, forget it. Because I really like the music, but the lyrics were awful. So I just ditched them and just made the music a bit more interesting. And I'm quite pleased with it.
Well, we'll take a listen to it, Martin. Thank you for joining us. And we look forward to hopefully seeing you in our area playing a gig somewhere at some time in the new year. Okay.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jason.
Have a great Christmas. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas.
And you. Martin Allswick and Paley Shadow.
Now, Zoe, we go to a young lady who needs no introduction at all, because it's the one and only Jean Martin. Hello.
Hello, Joe. Hello, Zoe.
Right.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm just on my way to a gig at the moment.
You always are these days. You've been very, very busy. We've been trying to get you to come in or get you on the phone, but you've been all over the place.
Yes, it's been a bit of a hectic time since the beginning of October, and it's going to be the same until December the 20th.
And that's the way we like it. Now, you normally do get a few days off for Christmas, but it's going to be even busier this year, isn't it?
It is. There's so much gone on. It's just wonderful.
So it all looks like a lot of fun, though, from what I can see off your internet.
Yes, you better reveal to the listeners what all this is about.
Yes, because let's run this in order. Should we start off with Text Santa? We'll talk about that one first of all, I think.
Okay.
Because you're spending 24 hours with Philip Schofield.
I'm spending 24 hours with Philip Schofield, yes.
How jealous are a lot of people going to be?
I know, isn't it lovely? I had met him before, Zoe, because I was on This Morning with him when I was doing Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, yeah.
So I have met him, and he's really
lovely.
He
does seem nice.
He puts you at ease.
Yeah.
Yes. And how this all came about, the other agent that I was with didn't put me on a certain website that people look for when they're looking for people on television. And he put me on this website, and all of a sudden, the television people were after me. And it was because they said, well, we wondered what had happened to you since Britain's Got Talent. And there I was, waiting, thinking, well, that's it now. I can sort of hang my boots up and not do anything.
No chance of that.
No. Well, so I was Philip Schofield from 11 a.m. on the morning of the 1st of December until 11 a.m. on the morning of the 2nd of December. And I'll be taking my EL900, and there will also be a piano. It's just fantastic. I've got to have two adults with me, one of whom will be my lovely husband, Bob, and the other person will be my new manager.
And are you going to? Do you have to stay awake for that amount of time as well?
Well, they're going to keep me awake. I've got to keep Philip awake by playing bits of music to shivvy him up a bit if he starts to go tired.
you and your energetic performances, it's going to happen, isn't it? He's got no chance of sleeping.
Well, you've got to get in a jolly festive mood at Christmas, haven't you? Mm. I mean, it's all for a good cause.
But that's not the only thing you do with Tech Santa, because you've got to go and see Ant and Dec after that as well, haven't you?
Yeah, well, Ant and Dec have found out and they want me on the 19th of December. And so we were going down on the 19th to record it, and it was going out on Christmas Eve, but there's a lot more people going to become involved on the 19th, so they've decided to put it out live. So I'll be with Ant and Dec again, which will be absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So they always seem a lot of fun as well, don't they?
Oh, they do. Yeah. They do. They're lovely.
The things you get up to. And not only all of that, but you've also releasing your own album as well of Christmas songs.
Yes, my new album's for sale on Amazon and already it's selling well. And for everyone that's sold, a pound goes to Tech Santa.
I have seen the cover, and the cover looks very nice. So, the music is going to be good anyway.
Yes, but I've seen the cover. Yeah, everybody needs a little Christmas, don't they?
Yeah,
they do. So it's been very busy, as we say. But not only that, you've also got the bingo going on, Sun Bingo. That's still happening, isn't it?
Yes, we've got the last one tomorrow evening, but we've recorded a Christmas show, and I'm glad you can't see it because I'm a fairy. And I won't tell you what I have to wear, but I've been a cat. I've been a cat twice. I've been sort of done up like in many sort of boys, if you like, I was on the cat for Halloween, and oh my goodness me, they really go to town. And they've just sent me the script now, and I was reading through it when you came on the phone.
So
I'm going into the acting field now as well.
Yeah, anything and everything. That's our gene, but there we go.
It'll be Panto next year, won't it?
It's in the offing, yeah. Yes, I could have had a role this year, but I'm too busy.
I don't know. Absolutely mad and manic. So, what else have you got that you want to tell us about at the moment? Because is there going to be some more studio work coming up in the new year? Is it going to be a less seasonal album?
Well, there will be a new album in the new year, because I'm sort of going down the jazz field now as well, as sort of classical, and so I want to do an album of classical and jazz together, which I think would be rather good. In fact, I've just had an invitation today to go to the Palace again. My official invitation is called, which is on December the 4th, which will, of course, will be wonderful, playing the grand piano and meeting Princess Anne again. Mm-hmm. This is the fifth time I've met Princess Anne. And then I'm going to be doing a guest of honour at a big dinner at my old university in London.
Oh, that's
and,
good.
And I'm very excited about that, speaking to the postgrad students.
Yeah.
And they're putting the grand piano out. And I think they're expecting me to play how I was trained in classical music.
That's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah,
1969
to 1972, I was a student there. And what they're going to do is get in touch with my old professor and see if he's still alive, to come and be there to hear me, which will be a great honour for me.
Oh, that'd be brilliant,
yeah, that'd be
wouldn't
nice.
It?
Yes, it would.
So you're having so many different experiences. It must be, you know, fantastic to and a real enjoyment for you to go to all
of
these
events.
It's just
like Aladdin, when you rub the lamp and you wish for something, you know, and I feel as though I have rubbed a lamp because all these things have been happening, you know, over the last 10 years. I mean, Bob getting me on Britain's Got Talent and, you know, it's just non-stop. I wake up in the morning and I feel so blessed with all these things that are going on. Mm. I mean, I'm going to be, we're not switching the lights on, but I'm playing in Brood on Sunday for their light switch on. And we sort of straight off on the train then because we've got to go down to London for Philip Schofield on the 11 o'clock on the Monday. So that's what life's like now, you know. Life in the fast lane until Christmas.
That's the way you like
you can
it.
Relax for a few days.
Yeah, a chance to relax a little bit over the Christmas and New Year period too.
Absolutely, yes.
I'm
yes.
hoping to get to see you sometime over then because I'm looking for a soiree at the Jean Martin household.
At the Martin household.
I thought
you
were going to say
yes.
the Royal Palace then. Well, I don't think she could
probably,
do that.
Jean will probably be at the Royal Palace, which will be half the problem. But so fingers crossed, I shall be looking for my invite. Okay.
Oh, of course.
I'll be cheeky.
That.
Always good to talk to you. Have a great time.
Well,
keep busy
you,
as
Jane.
You are, and we shall see you soon.
And have a great Christmas, and to all your listeners.
You too, and enjoy your time with Anton Deck and Philip Schofield and the rest of the gang too. Okay.
I will do. Thank you.
We'll look out for you on telly. See you soon. Travel now.
Bye.
Another track now then from our featured artist. It's Martin Austwick and The Man Who Could Not Read Minds.
When did people start talking without words? Speaking without opening their mouths. The world turned and I was left behind, alone within a crowd. They tell me it's like people's thoughts written on a page, and anyone who's close enough can see. Anyone can read. Anyone can share, anyone but me. I can't read, but I am an open book. So when it began, I really was amazed. When people would cross the street to avoid me or avert their startled gaze, thinking inharmonious thoughts of work ruins people's working days. I thought that it might be contagious, so I rode around on the London Underground for ages, trying to find what people wouldn't say. But then I'd see a pretty girl reading Atlas Shrugged, and I'd think, Jesus Christ, that's a terrible book. And she'd frown and put the book down and move away. People started drifting back, curious about this creature. A radio that broadcasts unable to receive. And
people stopped reading Atlas Shrugged, which is good, because it's a horrible book. Instead they read the words that came from me. Now I feel they've taken all I have to say. What would people do if I just went on strike one day? Then I remember what Tim Harrington said. We were there when the world got great, and we helped to make it that way. So I'll think that over and over again. So I'll think that over and over again. So at least this is a positive seed to plant into the ground. Something they'll remember me for when I'm not around. Even though these are the thoughts of another man.
Martin Ulswick and the man who could not read minds.
To the phones we go, where we find Laura Blackham from The Haven in Wolverhampton. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Now, for those who don't know about it, please enlighten them about the work of The Haven and the vital work that it does supporting those who find themselves in some very difficult positions in their home life.
Yes, well, the Haven's been going for over 40 years now, and we work to support victims of domestic abuse. So we've like I say, we've been doing that for over 40 years, and that goes through refuges, which are based across Wolverhampton. We've got 5 refuges, but we also support in the community. We do work with children, and we do financial advice and all sorts of bits and pieces to help people overcome domestic abuse and move on.
Obviously, they have to be referred to the centre, but it's a vital lifeline for them, isn't it, very often?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got an emergency helpline, which is a free phone number to enable people to get in touch who need to speak to us. They can make self-referrals, they can come to us through all sorts of mechanisms, so we're here to help.
As I say, I think as well, if somebody has got issues and things like that, you can advise them and help them actually in their current situation, so it's not just for people that are desperate enough to leave the home. So it is for like anybody really that's in that terrible situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think everybody has their own individual way of wanting to face that situation and wanting to sort of go through the process. And some people will come to refuge and some people initially want advice. So that's what we're there for, really, to help anybody.
And to do all that, you need the financial backing to do it and also the help of people in the community. So tell us a bit more about some of the current appeals that you have going on.
Well, obviously, with Christmas just around the corner, we've got a Christmas appeal, which we run every year. And basically, it's to try and gather some new items that we can distribute amongst the people that we support as Christmas gifts. So obviously, a lot of women, particularly the ones who do come to refuge, can turn up with very little, if anything, but the clothes on their back. And after such a traumatic experience, Christmas is such a lovely time for most people, and we want to make sure that that's the case for the people in refuge and that we support out in the community as well. So we run a gift appeal every year, where we look for, it's always new items that we ask people to donate for the Christmas appeal specifically. So whether it's toys for children, gifts for teenagers, items of clothing, toiletries, chocolates, all those lovely things that we all like to receive so that everybody can have a gift. And we also, for the children's gifts in particular, we ask that they remain unwrapped, and that gives the mothers the opportunity to come down and pick a toy that's specific to their child, that their child would love. They get the opportunity to wrap the toy and have the full Christmas experience and watch the little smile on the face of the children as they open their presents on Christmas Day. So that's our main appeal that we've got at the moment. But we're also fortunate enough between the 4th and the 6th of December to be taking part in a Christmas challenge that's running on the website called The Big Give, where any donations made until the end of the 6th of December will be matched, which means if you donate £10, The Haven will receive £20, and it's at no extra cost to the donor. It's all matched by other sources of funding. So those are the two things that we've got going on at the moment.
So that's going to be a big thing. If you can get quite a lot of donations on that particular website, it's going to be doubled. So
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And when you think that just £2 covers the cost of a call to our helpline, which is often the first step away from domestic abuse for a lot of the women that come to us, just donating £1 could change somebody's life. It really could. So it's a great opportunity.
And it's just a matter as well of putting an extra present, perhaps when you're going shopping. I mean, plenty of supermarkets do children's toys or you know, little stocking fillers and things. So it's just a matter of putting an extra one or two of those in your basket before you leave. So,
or even a box of chocolates. I mean, everything's welcome. So, absolutely.
Yeah, because as you say, it's not just the women who are being affected by this. There are also men that you're supporting. But equally, it is important that the kids get supported as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think the thing is that the women are obviously the initial victims of domestic abuse, but children are often in the same room or the next room when these sorts of things happen, when the domestic abuse goes on. So they're the silent witnesses, I suppose, as you term it. And what we try and do is do work with them to help them overcome the experiences that they've been through and hopefully to break the cycle of domestic abuse in future so that they're able to overcome what they've been through and move forward.
Mm. So if people do want to donate, what do they have to do?
Well, they can get in touch with The Haven. We've got a direct line which will come through to anybody can take the call and take donations. We're all grateful for them. So the direct line to come through to is 01902 572 140. They can visit our website, so if you just do an internet search for The Haven Wolverhampton will come up, and there's lots of information on there. We like to shout about what we've got going on. And of course, our helpline number is on there as well. So if anybody does need to get in touch with us for some support, then our helpline number is available on the internet as well.
And Christmas, I'm sure, will unfortunately be a very busy time for you as well.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, fortunately in that a lot of people are thinking of us and a lot of people are supporting us, and it's great because it means that we're able to support more people. But you know, I don't think that sort of the seasons discriminate as to when we get people who need our support. It's all times of the year, so it's just a great time to be able to have the opportunity to shout about it and get the message out there and tell people what we're doing and how they can help people who've been through such a traumatic experience.
Yeah, and it's a local appeal as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So people in the local area can be supporting local charities as well.
Yeah, well, as I say, all of our refuges are in Wolverhampton. And so, yes, it is absolutely completely a local appeal.
Well, do keep up the good work. What's the web address one more time for the matched giving?
So it's Big Give. So if people just, again, do another quick search for the Big Give, but it's all on our website as well, which is havenrefuge.org.uk. And so if they come there and look at our Christmas appeal page, all the information is on there as well, which explains a little bit more in detail about how it works as well.
Laura, thank you for joining us. As you say, keep up the good work down at The Haven, and hopefully you'll have a diminishing number of people who will need your help, but I'm sure you're going to give it anyway, whatever happens.
Absolutely. We'll always be there as long as we're needed.
Cheers. Thanks then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye. Our final song then from Martin Austwick, it's The Look Upon Your Face.
The hell of a lot of mud, evolution through against the wall, and you're the sword against the odds that stuck, refuse to fall. So sing now for the setting sun that lights up every day, for the roll of dice that brought you to this place. You are the sperm that won, the one that got away. And there's no snowflake as unique as the look upon your face. My folks met in a folk club, that's how I came to be. In the city on an island at the borders of a sea, some animal climbed out of, cast itself onto the beach. There's very little chance I should have turned there to be me.
Me.
lights up every day. And for the roll of dice that brought you to this place, you are the sperm that won, the one that got away. And there's no snowflake as unique as the look upon your face. The best captains of our industry rely on pure blind luck. Happenstance dictates the dance of our lives and deaths. So cast aside the existential terror that can bring. Lift up your voice and sing in each and every breath.
2, 3, 4.
So sing now for the setting sun that lights up every day. And for the roll of dice that brought you to this place. You are the sperm that won, the one that got away. And there's no snowflake as unique as the look upon your face. The look upon your face. Look upon your face. Look upon your face.
Martin Austwick and The Look Upon Your Face. The Safer Nights Initiative, hosted by the Epic Youth Cafe on Litchfield Street in Wolverhampton, is a great way for you to be able to get home safely if you're heading out and about in the run-up to Christmas. To tell us more about it, we have Councillor Elias Matu, Wolverhampton City Cabinet Member for Leisure and Communities. Hello.
Oh, hi, Jason.
So tell us a little about how the scheme works.
Well, the scheme actually is there to help people get home safely after they've had a good night in our local bars, clubs, in the Wolverhampton city itself. And you know, we want people to have fun. Wolverhampton is a great place to be, you know, around this time. And at the same time, I think we have a responsibility to make sure that people get back to their homes safely. So therefore, we are asking people to come to the Epic Youth Cafe, which is based in Litchfield Street. People will be offered hot drinks and cold water and just to chill out while they're waiting for a taxi to get home basically safely. This initiative, it's in its seventh year, and it worked extremely well in the past, and I hope that people will take advantage of this.
Now, it runs right the way through until the 27th of December on every Friday and Saturday night between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. And it also works alongside the marshalling scheme for taxis from Bilston Street. It's really a good way because you know you're getting a licensed cab as well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it gives the assurances to parents as well. If their children are out in the city, then they know that they're going to get back home safely. And I hope the parents would give the message to their children that make sure they get into a safe taxi.
Now, it's not only open to the youths who would normally use the youth cafe, but open to anyone of any age.
It's open to anyone, everybody, yeah.
And interestingly, the British Red Cross will be on hand as well in case any assistance is needed, but fingers crossed it won't come to that.
No, hopefully not, but we have that just in case, you know, somebody, it's just what reassurance actually, Jason, to make sure that everybody is reassured and basically gets back home safely. Because this is a time when everybody, you know, people want to have fun, and we don't want anybody not to have fun, not to enjoy themselves, but at the same time, get back home safely.
So, yeah, make sure that if you're the most sober in your party, you know to get along to the Epic Youth Cafe, and that's based on Litchfield Street. And will there be signage and people out there with tabards on directing people?
I think there will be some signage there.
So it's an easy way of looking out for anything. That all-important hot drink and a glass of water could make all the difference to making you feel a little less hungover the following day.
That is sober up and you'll be able to show your face.
Well, Elias, will you actually be taking part in this? Do you think you'll be going out for a few beers and maybe getting your taxi home from the Epic Youth Cafe?
I won't be going home, but on the 6th, I'm going out, Jason, with the team of officers for a night,
so you
to see, you know, how this system is working and how our bars are operating. celebrating. We do this once a year.
Yeah.
With the licensing, you know.
It's good to see how these things work, even if you're not going to use them yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Great. Thanks. Good speaking to you. And we look forward to the hopefully the good results of people being able to get home safely due to the Safer Night Scheme.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for this week's show.
Yes, it's been very good.
Dad, it's been nice to have you back as well.
I've enjoyed being here.
That's good. And you could have brushed your hair, but it was nice to have you around. Right, we will be back next week for more on episode 285. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar, yeah.